happening the weekend of July 26th.
I love a good celebration. Any unique giveaways for the fans?
Oh, yeah. The weekend is filled with them. All for 30,000 fans 16 and up. Friday, fans are going to take home the Mystery Players jersey, courtesy of Cooper Tires, featuring memorable players from the 04 team. Then Saturday, get a replica 04 National League Championship Mystery Player Ring, presented by Edward Jones.
A jersey and a ring? Those will be fan favorites for sure. Of course, some of my favorite players from 04 were Roland, Edmonds, and Pujols.
Well, then you're not going to want to miss Sunday's game when fans get the first ever Cardinals triple bobblehead, courtesy of Coca-Cola and Dierbert.
A triple bobblehead? Wow, what a weekend. That's July 26th through 28th. Get your tickets today at cardinals.com/promotions.
We all have a lot of things we're going to do one day. One day I'll change my career. One day I'll get my bachelor's degree. Well, today is the day to be brave. Because Maryville University offers more than 30 degrees online, including bachelor's degrees, with no entrance exams and no application fees. We've been empowering students for nearly 150 years, so we know there's no time like the present to focus on your future. Learn more now at online.maryville.edu.
See the USA in your Chevrolet. America's asking you to call. Drive your Chevrolet through the USA. America's the greatest land of all. On a highway or a road along a levee.
Performance. All right, let's check in now with John Londoff. John, how you doing?
Pretty good, Frank. I got a bad call. Got a very bad call. I was hit by a commercial for me.
Okay, happy to do it. Get well, John.
Okay.
Wow, he sounded horrible.
He did not sound well.
Didn't sound like himself at all.
He did not sound like himself. Tim, did you hear that? Did Tim just walk in?
I think he was getting himself a light
did
refreshment.
Did you hear John Londo? He sounds terrible.
No, I missed it.
Let me call him back up. Hang on. This show is so stupid.
Yeah.
Hey, John?
Yeah.
John, you sound terrible. We're concerned. You okay?
I'm okay. I'm okay, Frank. I've got a really bad cold, and I feel better if you do a commercial for me. I own my building a lot, and...
I know. You own your building a lot. We've known that for a long, long time.
I don't know. I'll be okay. But I don't know what it is. The heat, baby.
Okay. John, get better, okay?
Okay, Frank.
There it is.
Oh. That sounds like Norman.
Norman?
Norman from
Norman
Sullivan.
Londo.
We haven't heard from Norman
no,
in a
we
while.
Haven't.
Well, let me call him.
Norman?
Hello?
Hey, Norman?
Yeah.
Well, somebody said they thought you sounded a lot like... John Londoff when he has a cold.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We got to go, Norman.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Here's the deal. John actually cannot come on because he's busy, tied up. That's good. But not as busy. He's not busy with customers the way I think he wants to be today. And I'll just level with you here. When this weather's this hot, it hurts. Turn Norman off. When it's this hot, the car dealerships are just people sitting around hoping somebody will walk in. Let's not let that be the case with Londoff. And here's the way, and I'm serious about this. This is the way I've always thought of when I had to go out and buy something or shop for something. I like to go when other people aren't there. I think you get more attention. I think you got a better opportunity at making the deal because they don't like slow days. This would be the perfect day, tomorrow, the next day, to get into Johnny Londoff. You're going to be like a hero, braving the heat, and it's going to be hot. But heat has never kept me from, and neither has rainy, stormy day. Well, nobody's going to be out. Oh, I'll be out because I'd like to be that person that gets all the attention and they bend over backwards for. They do that anyway, but even more so when two things happen, when it's miserable, rainy, cold, or hot, or when you say your AM and the PM. See, makes a huge difference. So you know who they are. You know what they do. They sell Chevrolets. and lots of them, in the same location since 1960, the Washington Elizabeth exit off Interstate 270. Chevy is a Chevy is a Chevy. I could name other car dealerships, other Chevy dealerships, who all have the same vehicles that Johnny Londoff does. Silverados, Equinoxes, you get the idea. But here's the thing. You're AM and the PM, or you wouldn't be listening to what we're saying right now. You wouldn't even be hearing this. So we've established you're AM and the PM. So are they. Big time. Big supporters of the show. Let's keep that going by supporting them. I've never once told you that you must buy anything from Johnny Londoff. That's the decision you have to make. All we ever do is ask you, if you're AM and the PM and you want to keep us on the air, give them a shot at your business, because that's the credit we want. That's all they look at. How many people come in here who say they're AM and the PM? If they can't close the deal for whatever reason, that's not our fault. But that doesn't happen very often with AM and the PM people. So, looking for a Chevy, looking for something pre-owned. My goodness, I love my Trailblazer. My Trailblazer is now, boom, 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 boom. It is 15 years old. And it's 53,000 miles on it. And it's a big metal brush guard on the front of it that my kids bought for me. It has a light, an LED light bar on the brush guard that will burn your eyebrows off if you're coming head on toward me and I don't shut it off. And that's to light up the woods when I go home so I don't hit any deer. But that was a vehicle that I bought from Johnny Londoff pre-owned. And when it rolled in, they knew it was exactly what I was looking for. And somebody called me there and from the dealership and said, well, it's here. Exactly what you wanted. And I went down, I drove it around the block and said, I'll take it. $13,500 with about 20,000 miles on it. It was a great deal. So whether you're buying new or pre-owned, just give them a chance to make you happy. Johnny Londoff Chevrolet, 24/7 at Londoff.com.
How much is that jug in the window?
Here's the way this works. I don't know if this segment will go 10 minutes or 20 minutes or 40 minutes. That depends on you. When the calls die, the segment ends. So if you want to talk to a terrific veterinarian, somebody who loves animals probably even more than you do, and you may be crazy about your dog or cat or snake or whatever it is, he is your pet's best friend. He is the official veterinarian of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon, has been for like 15 or 16 years at least. He's brought to you by Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States. And here are the phone numbers. And when we do not have a caller, we end the segment, so load them up. 855-282-8255. I'll repeat it. 855-282-8255. Or 314-821-0590. 314-821-0590. Call now. And please say hello to Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Hey, how is everybody today?
Oh, we are doing great, Doctor. How are you?
I am AM in the PM.
I would think that you wouldn't have to do this, but I know you're going to do it anyway because of the heat that's here and even the worst heat that's on the way the next 3 or 4 days. And that is the reminder to people about the fresh water and over-exercising or having a dog run alongside you, especially a small dog, and that their pads on their little paws can burn on asphalt or concrete.
Ditto.
Okay. I knew you were going to address that because it's important. It's as important as in the winter not letting the water bowl freeze or not leaving an animal outside when it's just so brutally cold they're not able to take it.
You know, I think people really don't think about this as much as they should, but, you know, even a dog sitting in the car with the windows wide open in this at 70 degrees weather, and this is, you know, obviously much, much worse, can still become or undergo heat stroke. And heat stroke is a process that is killing to pets. And you said little dogs, but actually I would suggest maybe big dogs are even worse. So people get out there and jog and they think, oh, this feels good to go sweating and stuff like that. It's not so for the animals. They're not long distance runners, although they like to run with their owners. So be logical and be reasonable. Okay.
Now, if you're out running around and you're going in a place where they won't let the dogs in, then don't take the dog with you, because I watched a segment on one of these investigative report Dateline or whatever. They showed how long it takes for a car to heat up to like 140 degrees. It does not take long.
No, it doesn't. And, you know, again, once the process of heat stroke occurs, the animals get nauseated, start vomiting, they lay down, they're hyperventilating. And by that time, their body has already changed. Their body temperature can get up to 107, and they're on their way out, and they cause a lot of destruction to their kidneys. So just don't do it.
And unlike us, if they're walking on the hot pavement and it's hurting their feet, we have the ability to go, you know, and then nowhere to go to cool grass or something. They don't make that noise, and they just do it and be obedient and keep walking. And then before you know it, their feet are burned, and that's
right.
Not good either.
No, absolutely. You're absolutely right.
You want to take some calls?
I sure do.
Let's start with Don. Don, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Good afternoon, Dr. Doug and everybody. I'm AM in the PM.
Thank you, Don.
Hey, Don.
Well, I got a question now. I'm not going to be walking the dog anytime soon, you know, over the next few days. But anytime we put the dog on a leash and we walk down the street as a family, the dog nips at the heels of the children. She's a 4-year-old German Shepherd, and she does not like anybody to walk in front of her. Why is that?
You know, that's a good one. I don't know if it's just something that, you know, that this particular dog has gotten into, and it's almost like a game, or like you said, that there's something about that motion that just aggravates your dog. So the obvious solution is keep the kids in back, or try and train away that kind of behavior. And that's something you'd probably do with a professional behavioral trainer. It doesn't sound like it's a dangerous situation. It's just more of an obnoxious behavior the dog's picked up on.
No, it's not dangerous. I mean, in fact, we've tried it where I walk in front and she'll nip at my heels, too.
I have an idea, and I'm not kidding. It's not a joke.
Go for it.
Not a joke. Dogs hate ammonia. If you can find an old pair of tennis shoes you don't care about, soak the heel in ammonia. I guarantee you that dog could take one nip at that heel, and that'll be it. They're not going to do it again. They hate ammonia. Right, Doc?
Or the smell itself may be enough.
Yeah, I would take a couple of walks with some shoes you don't care that much about. I'm not kidding. And just dunk the heels in ammonia. Let them soak a little bit. I bet that'll put an end to it.
But then my feet will probably smell better when that's all over. So, yeah.
Well, they might, yeah. You might want to do it on a regular basis.
I keep the ammonia off the kid's skin if you can help it. So maybe put a little plastic bag or something in there.
Yeah,
first.
A sandwich bag between your heel and the shoe. But I'm not kidding. That ammonia thing, when I was a kid, I had a paper route. And I had a dog that liked to tear out after me on my bicycle. And that scared me to death. It's a mean dog. And somebody said, put some ammonia in a water pistol. You know, just a water gun. And shoot that dog one time in the face. And I did. And that dog never chased me again.
I'll have to remember that.
Okay.
Well, we'll try that next week when it cools off enough to walk the dog.
All right, Don. Thank you for the call. Thank you.
Yeah, bye,
Dan said the dog never chased me again because he was blind. blinded by the ammonia. You know, I don't think I blinded him, but I'm going to tell you something. When I shot him in the face with that, he ran away. He did not like it, and he didn't chase me anymore. A line is open because Don has been taken care of. And now I see that line is ringing. So, folks, just be diligent when the line opens. 855-282-8255, 314-821-0590. This is Kevin. Kevin, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dr. Doug.
Hello, Dr. Doug and everybody. AM and the PM.
Thank you, Kevin.
How are you, Kevin?
So, I'm just fine. So I have noticed that my dog has been itching uncontrollably, and we've always given him flea and tick medication and protect them. And then I was talking to a buddy the other day, and he's actually had experienced the same problem, and he's taken the dog to several vets. and they can't seem to find the issue. So I just wanted to know if there was maybe something that came out, a bug of some kind specific this year, that I'm not giving the correct preventative medication, because it seems to be a common problem around where I live.
You know, I don't know the particular products that you're using, but as I've mentioned before, there's a injectable product for the itching that's called Apoquel.
Yep, that's what I was going to say.
A-P-O-Q-U-E-L. And you can use that in conjunction with your conventional, whether it's a flea collar, tick collar, or one of the topicals or something that's given orally. So I would talk to your veterinarian about, hey, I need a little extra help. I don't think there's anything particular about the changes, although we've had a heck of a lot of moisture and now we have this heat, and I think the bugs just flourish. So there might be more of them. But I would try that first. Ask them about Apoquel, and they may even have one or two other products that would be very useful for you. Okay?
Okay. Thank you so much, Dr. God.
All right. Thank you, Kevin. That opens the line right there. It's open right now. Quick, jump on it. 855-282-8255. 314-821-0590. Ooh, see, these people are catching on now. That line just got taken. Emily is next. Emily, welcome to 590 The Fan, and say hello to Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Hi, Dr. Doug, and hi, everyone else. I'm in the PM.
Thank you, Emily.
What you got, Emily?
Well, I have a question about this grain-free dog food issue, and I don't know if you could clear this up. I haven't heard you talk about this yet on the program, but apparently there's new evidence that grain-free is not healthy, and my dog's been on a grain-free diet, and I guess I just want your thoughts on that.
You know, I have heard that myself recently, and I haven't had to deal with it with any of my patients, but yeah, that's kind of a new thinking, is that the grain-free might not be as good as we think it is. I know that we think it's better than some of the heavily grain products because dogs are carnivores and they're designed to eat other things besides grain products. But it might simply be, I think this is an evolution in kind of our feeding strategies, and I think we're going to hear more and more about it. If your animals have been healthy on that product or whichever products you're using, and you haven't seen any complications in their performance or their health, then I wouldn't jump so fast to change it. I would just wait and see what kind of new literature comes out, because first it always comes out kind of anecdotally, and sometimes that can take a whole wave of interest, but it may not be really truly relevant. So I'm exploring this more on my own as well. And if I can find out something, then I'll get back to Frank and let him know to share it with the audience. Okay?
Okay. Yeah. My dog seems to have an issue with corn where, you know, in the past when I would feed her, you know, formulas that had corn, she would be vomiting all the time. So we took her off grain-free. And, I mean, she's 10 years old. I guess she's doing fine. But I wanted, you know, I've heard that other vets are telling people to take them off the grain-free diet. So I was just curious if you had a...
I'm acutely aware of the product, the concerns that are being stated. I just haven't seen a solution or all the scientific verification. So as soon as I learn more, I'll share it on the radio. Okay?
Okay, I'll be listening. Thanks.
Emily, thank you.
Emily.
There's one other absolute concrete way to know if the grain is not for your dog. If you feed it to the dog and the dog dies, then you know that wasn't a good idea. And then you'll know for the next dog not to do that. Now, just a thought.
That's very intuitive.
Thank you.
Good idea.
Every line that drops, somebody jumps on it. They're learning how this works. But still, make a note of these numbers, because when the next caller, who will be Scott when he finishes, line will be open. 855-282-8255 or 314-821-0590. And Scott, you are up. Welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
How's it going, Dr. Doug?
Good, Scott. How about you?
Oh, great. I am actually going to be getting a puppy this weekend. We're traveling out of state to get a black and tan coonhound puppy.
Ooh.
And I'm trying to see, the breeder is providing shot records, and I'm just trying to verify what shots dogs 12 weeks old what shots a 12-week-old dog should have had by that point.
Okay, so it really depends on the breeder and the veterinarian, but typically we like to start the shots around anywhere from 5 to 7 weeks old, and then every 2.5 to 3 weeks until they're about 16 or 17 weeks old, okay? So what you don't know yet maybe is that maybe they're giving, a lot of breeders will give you the 12-week shot as you walk out the door, right? And it should be a combination shot that, just asking, is this the combo shot that has parvo and, you know, all the other, it's usually a 5-way shot. And the only thing you would not need at this point, unless crossing the state requires it, is a rabies shot. That's usually at 16 weeks of age, but you can give it earlier if you need to. So, for instance, I don't know what state you're going to, but they may require coming back into Missouri that you have that rabies shot. But if you're driving, no one's policing the roads for this, so you'd be okay either way. So the other thing you want to do is make sure you get the veterinarian's name that they use, and you want to call them up and ask about the history not only of your puppy, but you want to ask about the history of the parents and how this breeder handles their dogs, because they're not going to protect the breeder and you know, at the expense of their license. So usually you can get a good, honest opinion, okay? And okay, you also get the copy of all the records, which your vet is going to need. That makes sense?
Okay. Yep, okay. Sounds great.
Well, congratulations. Have fun with your new puppy.
Hey, can I ask where you're going for the puppy?
So the dog is actually in Florida, and
wow,
they're actually going to meet us. Yeah, they're going to meet us halfway in Georgia.
So. Thank goodness.
Wow.
You're supposed to be some.
Yeah, there's not a lot of black and tan coon hounds in Missouri, unfortunately.
I was going to ask you what's so special about this dog, but I think you just told me.
We're a big hound family and have had really good luck with hounds in the past. We have a red bone coon hound also, and we've had black and tans in the past, and was a pretty good reputable breeder from everything we've been reading and following up with. So,
do you hunt with them?
To drive a little bit.
Do you hunt with them?
Nope, not at all. No, not at all. just a family dog, but they're really calm and really great personality and really good family dogs. So.
I love them too. I think you got a good choice.
Well, if you want to see if it's a good coon dog, bring it out to my house. We got raccoons all over the place. Have a heyday.
Yeah, they'll still catch squirrels and rabbits, and they still like to hunt, but it's all suburban hunting. Nothing with guns or anything like that.
Okay. So. All right, Scott. Thank you for the call.
All right. Thank you.
Bye, Scott.
Line just open. I'm guessing in 10 seconds it'll be lighting up with somebody else while we wait for that, and it will happen. Let's go to Tim. Tim, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dr. Doug.
Hi, Dr. Doug.
No, not you.
Hi, Dr. Doug.
This Tim.
Hi, Dr. Doug.
That Tim.
Hi, Tim.
Hey. Hi, guys. How y'all doing?
We're doing great. What's up?
I have a 10-year-old rat terrier, and she's just a sweet dog, but I think she's going deaf. And
Sorry? Tim, that was Dr. Doug's attempt at humor. You said you think the dog's going deaf, and Dr. Doug said, "What'd you say?"
Uh-huh.
That was, he thought that was funny, but now he hears the silence and the lack of laughter, and he knows it wasn't funny.
I'll be punished. I'll punish myself tonight.
You should. So you think the dog's going deaf?
Yes, sir.
So, Tim, there is, I'm not familiar with any particular test. You know, the thing to do is when the dog is resting quietly is either get a clicker or something like that.
Or fire shotgun.
No, don't do that. But like those little toy clickers you can get, something that'll make a small noise and, you know, produce it right next to the ear, but make sure you don't encourage any waving or air current because that'll stimulate the dog. And that's probably your best way to determine whether you're getting some.
Or you could cut one and test his hearing and smell.
Yeah.
Right. While the house is quiet, you know, I called her name at just regular, you know, not a loud call, but just basically her name, and she doesn't even look at me. You know.
Maybe she don't like you.
What's her name?
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering.
What's the dog's
name?
Zoe. What is it?
Zoe.
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 Zoe. Huh.
So, yeah. Tim, let me tell you, there is actually, you can go to a clinician, especially one of the neurologists, and they actually may have some technology and some tricks, even a one of those bars they use on our knees to get some vibration and see if you have a reflex. But they might be able to use some tools like that and determine that there is some sound loss or whatever.
Will they put headphones on the dog and it'll raise a paw?
That would be good. I don't think they do that. But I think you got some options. I'd at least talk to your veterinarian about the opportunity to visit with the neurologist. And if that doesn't work, you may have to just live with it.
You know what, though? So, a simpler way, because Tim here knows what used to wake the dog up or cause the dog to hold its head up and look around. And if that stuff doesn't do that anymore, yeah, chances are it's going down. But that's not the end of life. It's not the end of life for the dog, right, Dr. Doug? We've had friends whose dogs were deaf. And, you know, they actually, unless you knew it and you visited them, you couldn't tell because they would respond to movements, like you wave your hand a certain way and they knew where to go eat. And it wasn't the end of the life of the dog.
No, but when my my wife says something to me, I ignore her all the time, and that's not about my hearing.
Right.
Good luck.
Well, she's still real playful, so
yeah.
I appreciate it, guys. I truly do.
Well, all right, Tim, good luck. Thank you.
Thank you.
He said the dog's still playful, and you were going to make another wife comment.
He did. He goes, my wife.
What were you going to say?
He said, my wife.
He said, she's still playful. I said, my wife?
Is your wife still playful?
No.
I'm sorry. Yes, she is. Sorry.
Yeah, not with you, Dr. Yeah, Doug.
You're wrong about that. Don't you guys agree Doug's wife is really playful?
Oh, yeah.
She's
great.
She's just tired by the time you get to her. She's tired out. This would be Bob, I guess. Bob, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dr. Doug.
Hey, Dr. Doug, and I am AM and the PM.
Thank you, Bob.
Hi, Bob.
I lost a couple dogs this year, and I just adopted one, and which I'm very happy with the adoption. She's been great. But with my last two dogs, there was a male and a female, and when they went outside and went to the bathroom, they weren't killing the grass at all. But this is a larger dog, and all she does is go outside and just tear the yard up, poop, and pee. So is there anything besides keeping a diaper on or putting a diaper on her or paving my lawn to keep the grass from dying every time she pees?
Because
she's constantly out there with grass seed and that grass patch.
Are you saying the dogs before that their poop and pee kill the grass, but this one's doesn't?
No.
Just the opposite.
This one's does.
Okay,
dead.
I know exactly what this is. Stop feeding the dog Roundup.
Oh my God.
That'll kill it for sure. Pain in the tush for you, but if you could get out there and immediately hose down that area where she's peeing, that would help quite a bit.
Yeah, but that's a pain. That really is a pain.
That is a pain. He could take a little bucket, like a planter waterer, and just water it down real quickly.
No.
That wouldn't be such a big deal.
Okay.
But, I mean, you want to preserve this. The other thing to do is have your veterinarian just check the pH of the urine. And if it's either too basic or too acidic, you can impact that with diet changes or a treat or something, and that might make the difference.
Well, there's another way to stop this. Teach the dog to only poop and pee in the house. If you do that, your yard will be beautiful. You don't have to worry about it anymore.
No, I go everywhere in the house. I don't need the dog to be doing the same thing. That's about it. I mean, I have been trying to water it down and stuff like that, but this is, like I said, I'm not used to a larger dog, and I don't know if she's just going out there and dumping a tank full in the grass, and it's just immediately killing it the next day. I'm like, you know, it's like a war zone out there.
But he's right about the pH, though, probably.
I would go take a urine sample, and it doesn't have to be handled very specially. That pH they can test in 2 seconds. It should cost pennies, and that might help you make a change in the
I didn't get a urine sample from a dog. Just pull some of the grass that's wet from the urine, because the dog's not going to pee in a cup.
No, no. What you do is you take a cup and you tape it to the end of a stick, like whatever, and you put it under them when they squat, and you collect it that way. Or if you take the dog in first thing in the morning, the veterinarian has other methods to get that urine out, and they can collect it right there and then take a sample. So either way will work.
Okay. So there is something probably or possibly available to keep this happening.
I would definitely talk to him about that and see if there's a diet change that might be useful or an addition or whatever.
I've only had her for 3 weeks. I don't know what kind of diet she had for the last 2 years when she was a stray. So I don't know. So
right.
I guess we'll have to check it out.
How big is this dog?
You know, she's about 30 pounds, and she's been absolutely perfect, knowing that, you know, we don't know the history. So it's been great. So,
yeah.
No,
we appreciate
problem.
You adopting, too. That's a great thing.
Oh, man, it was a great, it's been a great experience so far, if I keep her from chewing on crap like she is now. So, okay.
All right. All right, Bob.
All right.
Good luck, Bob. Thank you.
Let me think about this. The dog pees and poos everywhere, ruins the yard, and chewing up everything in the house. And this is a great dog.
Yes.
I'm impressed with him.
Yeah.
So he's a good owner.
He's tolerant. 855-282-8255. 314-821-0590. Jack, you are next. Welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dr. Doug.
Hello, Dr. Doug, AM in the PM.
Thanks, Jack.
Hi, Jack.
Dr. Doug. Hey, Dr. Doug. Hey, I called you last month about, I got a 6.5-year-old Westie who is a perfect dog, but has developed this intolerance for toddlers and small children. We got some new grandbabies and gave me some advice. And my wife's solution was the dog needed to be socialized to get a second dog, which I'm totally against. However,
and there's always a however in life.
We'll be picking up a new dog in 3 weeks to try to alleviate this problem. We used to have two dogs, and I got down to one, and I was like, woohoo! But now we're going back to two. My advice is we've got a really good breeder that's willing to let us try to socialize with this new dog. Do you have any advice for bringing the new puppy into a situation like that? We're getting all the bedding early, and then using the bedding, let the other dog be around the bedding, and then taking it in, and they've already given her the name we want. Is there any other advice you have about bringing the new dog into this situation?
Well, you've got two scenarios to worry about. That's the new dog learning the rules of the house for house training and all that kind of stuff, so you have to work on that. And then the other part you're talking about is how to mix the two dogs. And I usually suggest that initially, because Westies can be kind of headstrong, that one person in the family holds your little dog, your 6.5-year-old dog, and the other person manages the puppy. And then you sit together in a quiet space with some music on or a TV show, and you let them kind of come together under the guidance and the control of you guys. And that's the quickest, best way for them to start to connect and realize that the new puppy belongs in the family. And then you start giving them a little free time together with your supervision. And most often, these little terriers are going to, they're really smart. I think you're going to find that they're going to connect pretty well. And that's cool. That's going to be a fun adventure for your family. Okay.
We've had Westies for about 20 years, and we've always had two. And I got down to one thinking, you know, hey, I'm down to one dog now, but it's so much easier to go out of town and go out at night and not have to worry about getting up early for the dogs and stuff. But
it's rare in the veterinary clinic that we don't see two Westies in the same household at the same time. That just seems to be the nature of the process. So that's not unusual at all.
That's what my wife says. And like I said, we're picking her up in 3 weeks. So
well, good luck.
Advice, Dr. Doug. All
right, Jack. Thank you, Jack. Bye-bye. I was going to tell a story about a Westie, but let's get all the callers in that we can. So, Barry, you'd be next. Welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dr. Doug.
Hi, Dr. Doug. You helped me out. I had a dumb question I asked you about a year ago about the Lhasa that I have with the storm.
Uh-huh.
And you helped me out with that, and I thank you for not laughing at me, first off. But Second well, off, you hit...
Let me just say, Barry, there is no dumb question, usually. Okay, go ahead.
But anyway, you helped me with...
anyway.
thank you, Bernice. But the thing was, is that the caller was on last week and had a problem with their dog reverse sneezing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, what I do is I put my fingers over the dog's nose because I have the Lhasa and a mixed breed. Mm-hmm. And if I press, you know, against their nose a little bit, not major pressure, but it seems like it helps to filter the air and they quit reverse sneezing.
I've never heard that, but if it works, it works. So that's interesting. We'll have to try that in the clinic sometime.
Well, I thought, you know, because you answered a question for me, I thought, well, maybe I would, you know, try to give you a tip or whatever. And sure. Thank you for all you do, Dr. Doug.
Oh, sure. We never stop learning.
All right. Thank you, Barry.
Thank you, Barry. All.
So a reverse sneeze, a regular sneeze, you expel air. Reverse sneeze, backwards?
You kind of inhale, and it's a snort. Sounds like a snort. It's because that.
Do we have the sound of the reverse sneeze that's snorting? I thought we used to have that in our. That's all out. Doctor, you okay?
Wow.
That's my version of a reverse sneeze.
I don't think so.
That sounded like. I don't know.
You need to turn the fan on.
Yeah. Like something else. We still work in a couple of calls. 855-282-8255, 314-821-0590. Craig is next. Craig, welcome to 590 The Fan, and say hello to Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Thank you much. Hello, Dr. Doug.
Thank you. He says his name on the PM. He's got a weak cell signal, but what do you got, Craig?
I have a 5-year-old multi-poo, and she went out and she had scratched her eye and had an itch. We took her to the vet. They put a cone on her and treated her eye. And now when we take the cone off, the eye is healed. When we take the cone off, she just starts gnawing on her leg and skin and gnawing all the hair off.
Is it the same leg? Is it always the same leg?
No, she goes to different legs.
All four legs?
As much as she can get to before you put the cone back on, yeah.
Cut her legs off.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. Sure. I'm kidding. What do you think, Doc?
I don't think the conditions are related to what you were dealing with earlier with the eye event. Maybe because the collar was on, it upset her because she couldn't lick her feet at all, and now she's kind of going after it. But again, the same product I talked about before was the only thing that got my dogs to quit chewing and licking their feet. It was the Apoquel and injection, and it's once every couple of weeks, but it was a lifesaver because it was driving me nuts. So, they're going to talk about other things. There are yeast that will attack that interdigital space between the toes, and they may put you on some other kind of medication in conjunction with that. But I would talk to your veterinarian about, what are the options. These are usually either sensitivities, it can be a true allergic kind of response, or like I said, it could be some kind of organism that's collected between the feet, because that area can stay a little bit moist and collect yeast. And that's the first step, to get that area cleaned up and then check out what products might be available. Okay?
All right. Thank you. Is that an anxiety thing, maybe?
It doesn't sound like it, although it may have been, like I said, stimulated by being forced to wear that cone for a few days. So maybe there is something of that, but now it's become a real physical event, right? So the dog, either by its own action or because of whatever the stimulus was, is now chewing and licking and can't stop. And then it creates its own wounds or its own irritation, and it just kind of exacerbates the whole problem.
Well, thank you very much.
All right. Okay, thank you, Craig. Luck. Appreciate it. There goes Craig. Now it's Biff. Biff, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dr. Doug.
Oh, hey. I'm sorry I'm in a bar. It's a little loud. Can you hear me okay?
Sure.
Hi, Biff.
Yeah. Oh, you think you guys are talking about dogs? Is that what you guys got, the doc, the vet doctor on?
Well, yeah. We got him on every Wednesday talking about whatever you want to talk about if it's pet related.
Well, yeah. I seen some really good looking dogs over here in Italy today. I missed my dog.
No, Biff's in Italy. Remember, he said that he was going to call us from Italy.
Oh, I thought he was talking about, he's in a bar and he's talking about women. He saw some dogs in the bar.
Oh, well, maybe, but.
Oh, sorry.
But he is. He did call us.
He made it to, Italy.
Yeah.
Where in Italy?
Milan right now.
Yeah. Wow. That's the guy you went on the private jet, right? You went over in a private jet?
Well, I'll get this, Frankie. I got bumped off the private jet because he invited so many people they couldn't fit them all on. So he flew me first class to Italy. That's not bad, though, huh?
That's the kind of rich friend to have.
Yeah, not a bad friend to have, huh?
Yeah. Well, it is the vet segment for people who have questions about pets. Did you have anything to ask about that?
I do. I miss my dog greatly, and I have a great friend that watches her for me. But she's a little 3-pound Yorkie miniature dog. I paid $5,000 for her.
Wow.
And she's almost 6 years old. Well, because of her size.
Yeah.
So little. But she's the most, never had a health problem ever. I mean, I get her shots and all, but checkups and all that. She never had a health problem. 6 years, nothing. But she runs in circles all the time. Why does she run in circles? Like, it never ends. She runs in circles. And she always circles to the left.
Because she's got a health problem.
Did you nail down her left paw? hey, Biff, what is it? It's like almost like 5 till midnight there. Is that about right? Is it almost midnight?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm just getting wound up. Yeah.
I can tell you're wide awake and ready to go. Midnight in Italy. Why not? Are you married?
What's that? What's that mean?
It means are you over there with this rich friend with your wife, if you have one? Do you have one? And if you're not, who are you with?
I'm 49, never been married, never had kids, Frank, and I love my life.
Well, there you go.
Wow.
It saddens many of us to hear that. But,
Biff, I think that's a normal behavior your dog's picked up. And the fact that it moves one way or the other, I just think that's just, you know, that's the dog's characteristic. Now, if it was scratching at its ear or something, then I'd start to worry about a health concern. But I just think that's your dog's cute little behavior.
I did notice a buddy of mine pointed this out to me a few years ago. She always circles left. But, you know, when she's at the door, if she wants to go outside, you know, to go to the bathroom, if she has to poop, she circles to the right. That's the only time she circles to the right. Does that sound like a smart dog or what?
Yeah.
It does to me.
She has to poop.
Yeah, I guess so.
I circle to the right when I have to poop.
Well, have fun. How long are you over there, Biff?
A week, supposedly, but I don't know. I might delay my flight home, come back later.
Steve,
I don't know.
When you're not married, you can do that.
Yeah.
Do whatever you want.
Told you. After the wedding thing's over on Saturday, I'm gonna hop, screw the train, I'm gonna hop a plane and go to Monaco and Monte Carlo and walk to France and hit two countries in one day on a Monday is my plan.
Good for you. That'll be great. That'll be fun. Good for you.
Wow.
Thanks.
Hey, Frank, when you're a single guy, I know it's been a while for you guys, but what if you're at a bar? Wouldn't it be nice if a girl was interested in you, she would just start kind of circling to the left? And if she was not interested in you, she'd circle to the right.
I think that's a great idea. I think you need to spread that so that universally that's the sign. It would make things a lot simpler.
Yeah.
All right.
I had an idea back in the day before everybody had a cell phone in their pocket. This was about 20 years ago. Remember, I don't know if you guys remember back in the day when you'd go to a bar and you'd try to meet a girl and get her number. Nobody carried a pen with them. So you'd always beg a bartender for a pen and get a girl's number and write it on a napkin. And I had this idea. I almost had a patent on it. Next to the condom machine was a Post-it pad and a little tiny pencil for like a dollar.
Uh-huh.
I was all going to be a millionaire, and then they came out with the pocket cell phone, and that ruined all of that.
Messed it up for you.
Yeah.
Well, we got to run. Check in later if you like from Monaco or whatever, Biff, okay?
Yeah.
All right. All right, Frank. I've been listening to your show like my whole life for about 30 years anyway.
Well, I appreciate that, and I appreciate you keeping us with you over in Italy at midnight. That means a lot.
Oh, there's a... Hey, there's a girl circling to the left over here. I hope that means she likes me.
Well, go find out, okay?
Ciao,
Biff. All right, Biff. All right, thank you. Goodbye.
Ciao.
Now, do you think he's really in Italy?
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
A good trick with that is to give a girl your phone number. You can buy these fake bank deposit slips online that like show how much your balance is after your last deposit.
Oh, that's a good one.
And have like $397,000.
Oh, that's a good one.
I had a stack of them back in the day when I was about 23.
That's very clever.
Really?
Yeah, I did.
I'm sorry. All I have is a bank statement. Hang on.
I got a piece of paper in my pocket here. And then act like you don't know what it is, and then it is what
beautiful.
It is.
Beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
But you think those Italian girls think that all guys are named Biff from the United States?
And maybe you'll use another name. We don't know. Out of time. We're out of time. Thank you, Doctor. And
thank you.
We'll do it again next Wednesday. Dr. Doug Pernikoff, everybody. Thank you, Doc. Now, Dan... While I was on with Dr. Doug, my phone went off, and it was Colonel Nottingham.
Oh.
So would you see maybe if he could join us the early part of the Playhouse, like 5:15? Well, yeah. 5:30?
Yeah,
somewhere
closer
in there.
To 5:30.
See if he'll be around with a good signal. Okay. That would be great. So Dr. Doug will be back again next Wednesday. Tomorrow, in the 4 o'clock hour, Scott Sherman. We started that 4 or 5 years ago. And from the day we went on, it has been a huge success, and he's helped a lot of people. I watched a movie last night. We'll talk about that in the Playhouse. I have a little, it's not a political comment, but it's about something in the news, and I think it's something worth observing. And Limey called to my attention yesterday, and we didn't get a chance to talk about it, about a surgery that just... took place fairly recently over in London, and it was two 2-year-old girls who were conjoined twins, and they were joined at the tops of their heads. Now can you imagine? You have two options. If they would live to be 20, 30, 40, they would live that way, joined at the top of the head, which means they would always have to lie down.
You could never buy them a hat for Christmas.
Now see,
making fun of 2-year-old kids.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are experiencing technical difficulties. Please stand by. We will return to our regularly scheduled program momentarily. Please stay tuned. We expect to resume normal broadcasting shortly.
Now, Dan, after that little talk, now do you understand?
No. Oh, yeah, I
only
do.
Dan.
Yes.
Only Dan. Two little babies, 2 years old, twins, joined the top of the head. Dan said, you can't get them a hat. Did anybody laugh? I'm not laughing.
No. Nope.
See?
Nope.
We're compassionate.
That's good.
Bill Clevland. Bill laughed. See, we're compassionate. I guess we're just different than those other two. But I'll tell you a little bit about that story. Yeah, you did snore. Give him what he deserves when he snores. It's an unbelievable story about this procedure, this surgery that separated these little girls who, from everything I can tell, may have a pretty fairly normal life. But think about it, at 2, where most kids are walking, they got to start over. They've never walked, joined the top of the head. Unbelievable. So we'll talk about that. We'll get some other stuff. Bill Clevland, who makes fun of conjoined twins, will be with us. Mike Evans will be with us. We'll have a joke by request. It hasn't been quite as long as I'd like for it to be. I like to be closer to a year, but it was requested, and I like to honor requests. The famous slow talking Bob joke. So all that is, as they say, right around the corner after the news. Please don't go anywhere because it'll make us sad. It's 5 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is Doug Vaughn. You are listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS Wood River, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm Brian Shook. Actor Kevin Spacey is no longer facing sexual assault charges. The district attorney in Nantucket, Massachusetts, just announced the charges have been dropped. The former House of Cards star is accused of groping an 18-year-old at a bar in 2016. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is pushing against starting the impeachment process of President Trump. Pelosi said House committees are continuing to aggressively look into the Trump administration and said the House needs to follow the facts. She noted Democratic leaders are still discussing what